Hello and welcome to See What Show. I'm Mr. Brown.
Hello, I'm Ling.
And this is the Movie, TV and DVD Review Podcast for regular people. And today, we are reviewing a lot of heavy movie.
Very heavyweights.
We Own the Night.
The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford. Well, and...
did it all in one breath.
Yes, of course. I took a deep breath.
In the Valley of Elah.
On DVD.
DVD.
That's right.
But before we go into that, we must wish everyone 恭喜发财.
恭喜发财, 身体健康, 年年有余, 快马加鞭, 缤纷巴萨。
缤纷巴萨。 人山人海. That's the only one I knew. And of course, as part of the Chinese New Year, you know, festivities, we must see what's showing this week.
Exactly.
What's showing this week?
And what's showing this week is...
lo and behold...
Sweeney Todd...
Kung Fu Dunk...
CJ7...
And...
Along Private Limited.
Occasionally, 27 Dresses if you go at 10:30 at night.
Yeah. What the...
Okay, mean, but I know. You could alternatively go to GV Yishun and watch Bima, bracket Vikram, Trisha, Prakash,
oh, Variety,
Raj.
Wow, okay.
Or you could go to Indra, Logathil and Alagapan.
What's showing at Yangtze?
Yangtze is not listed.
Oh, okay. I guess they cater only for the weekend crowd. I thought the weekday elderly crowd would go to Yangtze and watch the Lady from Bangkok. Chinese New Year edition.
I really wouldn't know. But I'll say that the Yangtze architecture itself is already worth checking out.
Yeah, I know. But the movies in there, like, you know, you don't want to sit on some of the seats in there. So you want to see stains there that...
Okay, so what is a Singaporean to do with so much holiday and no movies to watch?
Stay home and watch DVDs. I know, it's really frustrating because I was trying to watch something with the wife.
Yes.
You know, go out, right?
Right.
And all I could see in the papers were Along Private Limited, CJ7, Kung Fu Dunk, and Sweeney Todd, which we've reviewed.
Already?
And we've seen.
Well, okay, like, I'm just thinking, Sweeney Todd is not even vaguely in the vein of anything Chinese.
No, got red colour. Blood.
I see.
Red is a Kung Si Fa Chai colour.
It's a Kung Si Fa Chai colour. So yes. I really wonder what goes through the minds of people when they decide to program the program for Chinese New Year.
How about, like, let's force everyone to watch these three movies only.
We like them and so everybody else must.
No, let's just force them to watch these three movies and milk these three movies. These Chinese New Year themed movies as much as we can. From the poor, innocent Chinese New Year crowd who have nothing to do after visitation.
And collecting thousands of ang paos.
Yeah, and who got nothing to shop because all the shops are closed. So cinema is the only place. I think next time I want to release a Chinese New Year movie myself.
Really?
I think we must aim, you know.
Okay.
Mine will be like, you know, CJ7 Dunk or something.
Yours?
Private Limited.
No, nah, you might as well just call it Mr. Brown the movie. He Se Xian Sheng Dian Ying.
Mr. Brown wishes everyone a Chinese New Year. Happy Chinese New Year. I think something like that. It's a very, you know, it's very obvious one.
Exactly.
Such an obvious Chinese New Year movie.
Like the movie that I will be talking about later on. It's all in the title already. Tell you everything already, including the ending.
It makes all the money in 4 days.
Then you can upgrade your studio.
And then like on the 5th day of Chinese New Year, you just release the DVD.
I tell you another one. Why don't you have like one of those, like, instead of having like a ping pong show or something, you have like ping pong orange. Then you take out all your Chinese New Year oranges. Then you can use that as the set. Very cheap also.
Yeah.
Instead of Kung Fu Dang, you can have ping pong oranges.
I so need to come at a Chinese New Year movie, man.
And then maybe you can ask the national ping pongers like Li Jiawei.
Foreign talent.
Come act in it.
Shoot in 2 weeks.
Because of her pressing schedule.
Then, and then air it for 1 week and then release the DVD the week after.
All right.
That's a way to make money, man.
Actually, just download it online.
Upload.
Then
for you all, download. The Chinese New Year download.
Exactly.
Screw it, man. And be seen on cable 3 weeks later. Okay, let's jump into review time. Enough ranting.
See What Show, review time.
We Own the Night.
You had to hit that spot. All the places, you gotta come to my place.
That's where the drug dealer's been seen.
Nice friends you got there.
No, Poppy's not my friend.
What are we supposed to do? Compromise the whole thing?
What, you want me to come into your place? Hey.
Sooner or later, either you're gonna be with us, or you're gonna be with the dealers.
This is a movie that is set in 1988.
Yes.
During the drug rampant New York. I didn't know that New York was drug rampant in 1988, so now I know. And it stars Joaquin Phoenix.
Phoenix.
It's Joaquin, okay? Joaquin Phoenix. He's very particular about this.
Yeah.
I read an article about it.
I'm actually glad he is because, yeah, a lot of people don't know how to pronounce it.
Apparently he changed his name at one point.
Really?
Then he changed it back. It was some lame name, like very easy to pronounce. One syllable.
Bob.
Bob or Jay or some shit like that. Now he's back to Joaquin. He's like, screw it. You guys learn to pronounce my name. Damn it.
That's right.
And it stars him and Marky Mark. Please don't call him that anymore. Mark Wahlberg. And they are two brothers, Bobby and Joe Grusinski, who come from two different worlds. Two worlds, two brothers. That's the trailer.
Okay.
And Bobby is a nightclub manager, of course, because he's got a clef and everything. And he looks like a tough guy. And it's Joe, Marky Mark, is an up-and-coming officer, captain in the New York Police Department. Sounds familiar, right? Their worlds collide when Joe and their father, Deputy Chief Albert Grusinski, who is Robert Duvall, they ask Bobby to be an informant for them because his Russian-owned nightclub is a hotbed of illegal Russian mafia drug sales.
Oh, don't play.
Sounds familiar, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Bobby is trying to keep his distance from the illegal activities in the nightclub he manages. And also from his cop family's, zealous requests for his help. But he's forced by circumstances to become a warty undercover informant. Sounds familiar. Oh my god. My wife was watching this with me and she was muttering, was this directed by a Hong Kong director?
Don't be like that. Cross-fertilization.
Whatever. It really played out like a Hong Kong post-Inferno Affairs mafia movie, I'm telling you.
All that matters is that we finish this and we catch Leshinsky when that deal goes down.
Bobby, and Amara Juarez is calling for you on line 3.
I'll tell her I'll call back later.
All right.
It'll be okay. I gotta go downstairs and get fitted for a vest, all right?
At the very least, it begs comparison with The Departed, which also starred Mark Wahlberg, right? But it is not The Departed. It's not so long. It's not 3 hours. It's not so action-packed. And it's not so emo.
Okay.
Yeah, it's crime drama. It's really drama. Very, very drama. It's a more straightforward movie. Like, it's almost like black and white in its ways. You know, who are the bad guys? Who are the good guys? What's the guy got to do? What's the right thing to do? You know.
Wow. Honor. Moral tussle.
Loyalty, honor. See?
Yi qi.
It's, you know,
yi qi da guo tian.
Yes, that's right. The whole movie just screams yi qi, okay? And fate. Yeah, fate you cannot avoid. The movie apparently was booed at the Cannes Film Festival.
Oh.
Which is a good sign. It means it's not atas. Yay! It was booed. All right. Eva Mendes is Bobby's girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
She's hot. And I think you might just want to watch this movie to watch the first 5 minutes because you get a flash of her right boob as they are fooling around at the beginning of the show. To set the context, this is his hot girlfriend.
I see. It's very important.
Very important.
It's crucial to the plot.
I know. It's all for the art. Just in case you are wondering, we own the night is a phrase that was used by Street Crime Unit of NYPD in the 1980s.
I see.
Because they were, it's a battle cry, because they really had to take the streets back from the drug, peddling.
Like, we own the night.
Oh, gosh. I don't think that's how they shouted it.
Sorry, couldn't resist it.
Oosh. Some viewers got very upset at the ending. They felt it was a cop-out. Cop-out, get it? They say the movie was, that just came to my mind. They say the movie was very pro-cop,
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
And like all the other movies that America makes, like America Saves the Day.
And the French apparently said that the movie was very pro-American. But it's an American movie, or
yeah, no?
What the heck? But I don't really think it was that pro-cop, to be honest. The cops don't really come off looking that great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the bad guys are bad guys. Mafia and drug peddlers. But the cop life and the cops were not that great either. And the ending was really controversial. I mean, you might say it's sort of such a duh ending. But if you ask me, I reckon Bobby's end was almost tragic and fated. As a man who was driven by destiny into a life he did not want as a warty. like a Hong Kong Infernal Affairs style movie lah.
So how long is the show, by the way?
I think it's about 2 hours. Not too bad.
Okay.
Yeah, by Wattie standards, you know, by Departed standards, it's kind of like drop in the ocean.
Okay. That is actually really sparing you the long hours that I spent.
What do you watch?
Watching The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford.
A movie as long as its title.
Yes, indeed.
He was listed in the city directory as Thomas Howard. His children didn't know how their father made his living or why they so often moved. They didn't even know their father's name. He regretted neither his robberies nor the 17 murders that he laid claim to. And on September 5th, 1881, Jesse James was 34 years old.
Open that safe.
This is a Western that is really long. If all the moments were filled, it would be great. Unfortunately, the pace is the biggest letdown in this movie, which is adapted from a Ron Hansen book. Okay.
Oh, okay.
I feel that one thing about this is that the pace, right? And then, of course, it represented itself just like a book. It was like to be read and not watched, if you ask me. All right, I will go into that in a while. But let me just tell you the plot, if you haven't already figured out from the really mysterious, obtuse title, The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford.
So what is this movie about?
Yeah, what's it about? I mean, you know, what is the motivation behind all of this and the backstory and everything? So, okay, Jesse James. Okay, Jesse James is the hero, played by Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
He's killed by Robert Ford. Robert Ford is this geeky 20-year-old played by Casey Affleck, Ben Affleck's small brother.
Oh, that was the guy in Gone Baby Gone.
Yes, you're right. That's right. Casey Affleck. Can you tell he's Ben Affleck's brother? You should be able to tell because their surname is Affleck. sorry. Just had to. So anyway, Casey Affleck's character, Robert Ford, idolizes Brad Pitt's Jesse James, right? Jesse James comes from the legendary James family of bandits who rob the rich and give to themselves or give to the poor, depending on whose perspective you're looking at.
And he was very upset because everybody made fun of his name, called him a girl.
Ah, yes. Correct.
Jesse.
That as well. But of course, you know, it's beneath Brad Pitt to show, like, you know, because he's like
very macho.
Mr. Macho.
Yeah.
Yes. So anyway, Robert Ford tries too hard to get close to his idol and win his attention. And in the course of this journey, he becomes increasingly scared and disgusted by his idol, his Ouxiang's bullying ways and his neurosis. Apparently Brad Pitt was supposed to be neurotic, like growing a bit neurotic in the show. Although I couldn't really see it.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
I think with Brad Pitt, you don't have that kind of subtlety.
Actually, I think he's quite a good actor, but I'll tell you why it didn't really work for me.
Okay.
So anyway, Robert Ford, right, just to complete this really difficult to understand movie. Robert Ford convinces his brother that when they find a chance, they will kill Jesse James and get a bounty.
Oh, his brother is involved as well.
Well, he tries to get his brother involved because his brother was originally in the Jesse James bandit group, you see.
Oh, he was in already.
He was in already. They were trying to get his young brother in.
I see.
Yes. So anyway, in return, Robert Ford gets the country's top honor for killing America's most famous bandit.
Right.
But, you see, after Jesse's death, he finds himself really unpopular with the public, you know, like the singer in the pub who sings about the coward Robert Ford who killed their hero who was like a Robin Hood and got the riches.
Also, it doesn't end with the killing.
No.
It ends after, then it carries on.
It carries on. His
angst after the killing.
Oh, exactly.
Oh, no wonder so, 3 hours.
Very long. Just under 3 hours.
Oh, boy.
So I really felt that watching this movie was like listening to one of those old time, you know, audio books. It's like you turn on the tape, the cassette tape, and it's like that, you know, that really old. And the volume was very low. Very low.
Everyone talking very softly.
Very softly.
I see.
With the drawl as well.
Right? Oh, no.
So like many of these languid westerns that we've watched before, but you're hoping that since it's a movie made in 2007, maybe like with technology they can like up the volume a bit.
We got westerns that are like a bit more action, like 310 to Yuma, right?
Exactly.
Why can't they do like something a bit more like that?
Well, because I think that they I haven't read the book, but I'm guessing that they really tried to reproduce the book, because at the beginning they introduced all these characters who's like Jesse's cousin or Jesse's brother or his first cousin from don't know where.
His and mother's actually, son's dog walker's tuition teacher.
Exactly. And frankly speaking, you got quite confused at the beginning trying to understand who these people were. But actually, at the end of the day, they're not really that pivotal.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter.
Okay.
But I tell you what really killed the movie for me.
Okay.
The idea to use a narrator.
Oh, no.
But with the second day in the Thomas Howard house, Bob thought he might never go, but might be brought in as a good-natured cousin to the boy and a gentleman helper to Z. He went everywhere with Jesse. They made trips to the Topeka Exchange Saloon, where Jesse could spend nearly 60 minutes sipping one glass of beer and still complain about feeling tipsy.
Because first you would have this scene where Jesse James is looking at Robert Ford with those eyes, and actually it already tells you, right? So you decide for yourself. But then the narrator will come in and say,
Jesse,
in his mind, Jesse could not figure out if Bob was just plain stupid or if he idolized him since he was 3. You know, it's like, oh!
Thanks.
It's okay. We
can tell.
Yeah, enough already. Please don't overstate it.
Jesse looked at the coward.
Yes.
The coward looked back at Jesse.
Yes.
And it's a visual medium, you moron.
So that like totally made it so long, and I actually really feel that Casey Affleck was okay. People have called him a revelation and all that, and I think he did do well. Okay, and Brad Pitt, I mean, I always see it as like a sparring match, right? For Casey Affleck to look good in a way, he needs to spar with Brad Pitt. So I think I can give Brad Pitt due credit as well. But you see, their acting is completely undermined by this narrator who tells everybody what they are acting. So you don't need to get what they're acting from the acting, because you'll be told. It's like, okay, he is now feeling tired.
Sad, tired, angry.
Yes.
He is now happy.
Yes, something to that effect.
He's now very emotionally torn by having to kill his idol.
Yes. He is now looking at the gun that Jesse gave him that would be what Jesse meets his fate through.
The assassination of the movie, the assassination of Jesse James by Robert Ford, the coward Robert Ford. Oh, no.
So there you go. I mean, I love the film. Can you tell?
No, it's so disappointing. I thought it was going to be good.
Wow.
Well, came and went, I think.
Yes, as it should.
But got Academy Award nomination.
Seven.
What the hell?
Seven nominations.
So it goes to show you not all these Academy Award winners can be watched on the movie.
Yes. So how? Let's go in the Valley of Ela.
Okay, jumping into In the Valley of Ela, which was shown some time back, not very long ago, but it's all on DVD now.
Your son is in the army.
Yes, ma'am.
And you need to see the military police.
They're pretty busy with the war and everything, and I'm trying to check things out for myself.
All you can do is file a missing persons report.
Fine.
In which case, you'll need to see the military police.
How about you let me talk to somebody that does more than answer a phone?
And it's also been nominated for a couple Oscars. Most importantly, Tommy Lee Jones for Best Acting.
I like him.
He good lah. He good. Gets better craggly, with age.
Craggly face, and yeah, he's got this deep voice.
Yeah. So basically, in The Valley of Ela, he's Hank Deerfield. And he's an ex-military officer who's trying to figure out what happened to his son, Mike, who goes AWOL after coming back from Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
He has two sons. He already lost one. And this second one just came back from Iraq. Both are all soldiers, soldier family. Director is Paul Haggis, who did the Academy Award winning Crash.
Haggis are his name.
Haggis, yeah.
Haggis is this like Scottish,
I think so,
black rice thing.
Yeah. But Crash was a good movie.
Yes.
Did you watch Crash?
No.
Oh, Crash was excellent. So anyway, this is his second, like, you know, big deal movie. So Hank searches for answers. He looks to Charlize Theron, who is Detective Emily Sanders, for help. She's this like only woman in her department, then everybody tekan her, and all the guys making fun of her, and then she's very tired, but she's trying very hard to make it as a career cop, detective, you know, yeah. And, you know, he gets her help because the military investigative team and the military in general, they're all stonewalling him.
Mm.
Don't want to tell him what happened. Tommy Lee Jones does this really like strong, silent, blunt, direct type very well. He got nominated for the Oscars, as I said, and you can see the whole bottled up emotion thing, you know, in like a man who is not used to showing his feelings, but he's increasingly frustrated and sad at the situation and whatever he unearths as he goes along. Yeah, it's quite sad.
This is not Saigon. This is not 1967. You do not question witnesses.
I figured somebody should.
It must be frustrating being such a damn good investigator surrounded by incompetent fools. And just remind me again, what is it you do back in Monroe?
I haul gravel.
That's a shame. Think of all the crime that could have been solved in the last 30 years if you'd been on the job. This thing goes to trial, the defense will say you poisoned the well.
It won't go to trial.
What?
It wasn't them.
I'm sorry?
I don't know why they lied in their statements about not being with him, but they didn't do it.
They were fighting in the parking
lot.
They
were blowing off steam. You have not been to war, so you're not going to understand this. You do not fight beside a man and then do that to him.
That's quite the world you live in.
Find out why they lied.
And you feel for him. The movie does kind of take itself too seriously sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, I mean,
it gets very preachy.
Yeah, but you know, I think it's also, you see, Iraq and the US is a very current issue, right? Even though you can say that this happened like two years back.
It's still on, yeah. Which is kind of like, yeah, it's heavy, you know, because for that reason, talk about horrors of war, you know, it has a lot of things to say about the psychological damage that the Iraqi war is doing to the
ongoing,
young soldiers who go there and come back.
Exactly.
And also the fact that the military is not doing, helping them to cope. Yeah, not doing anything to help them cope. So this is a heavy drama that you must find a mood to watch, I'm afraid. It's one of those powerfully quiet movies, acted by powerfully quiet actors like Tommy Lee Jones, Charlize Theron, Susan Sarandon. Even the title, very obtuse.
Wow, it's good. There's no narrator, I bet.
Don't have. In The Valley of Elah, just to let you know, it's actually the story he tells Charlize Theron's little son to tell him to go to sleep, to help him go to sleep. It's about David and Goliath. They met in The Valley of Elah to fight.
Right.
So that's that Palestine area. It's like very drama, like symbolic lah.
Right. All these allusions to
all the biblical allusions. Heavy lah. Good lah. Good. If you must find the mood to watch it, then acting are very good, then you can get past the preachiness about, yes, we know the horrors of war. Yes, war is bad. But then, of course, there's that or CJ7, Along Private Limited, Kung Fu Dunk. So take your pick.
Bhima.
Bhima is a good movie.
I didn't say it's bad. I just said that there's not that much choice.
Ang Pao Woman of Bangkok. Steamy Slut of Chinese New Year Prostitution.
Okay lah.
Yang Tzu Cinema, go, go, go.
He Sui Xian Shen.
Mr. Brown goes to Chinese New Year Visitation. Next year's movie. I'm so going to make a movie in the Chinese New Year. Mr. Brown gives out ang paos.
Yeah. Something like that.
What year is next year? Year of the what?
What comes after
this is red, right? Then what is next year after
do
that?
They go in order of size? You're asking the wrong person, man. I really don't know. I can't even tell what comes after Gemini.
I'll make a movie every year named after an animal. The Year of the Dragon.
Yeah.
Then like, you know, next year this year be the Year of the Rat.
No, it can be a little bit more creative, like rat chasing snake or something like that.
Yeah, but it has to be cheerful.
Oh, I see.
It cannot be like American style Year of the Dragon, like, you know, you got this, you know, bad, heavy, like, drama. You know, it's all about happy, you know, fa chai. Then after that, you make money, then you lose all the money, then you make the money again, you realize family is very important.
Okay, well, Dong Dong Cheng, Dong Dong Cheng, Dong Dong Cheng, we have to go.
Bye-bye.
A production of C. What? Show.com.